the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting on a frequency that only weirdos can hear. Apparently, Lou, are you a weirdo?
I refuse to answer that question on the grounds that I may incriminate myself. What does the meerkat say? The meerkat doesn't say nothing because he has a right to remain silent.
That should be a Fox meme. I like that.
It is.
Is it? Okay.
Go to Freedom Fiends Facebook page and you'll find it.
You know, I'm feeling old here. And you said I was old. Didn't you say I'm old?
Well, yeah. You turned 100, you know, just a couple months ago. And in warm years, I'm still 29.
Yeah. Well, somebody asked me what vapes I'm using. And I'm trying to read it. And it's like I'm getting to that age of like, I can't read this. The tanks are Aspire, A-S-P-I-R-E. And then there's three letters after it that look like BBQ or BCQ. I can't read it. And the batteries are from Smoke, S-M-O-K. And the vapes are from the Plume Room. And tell them the Freedom Fiend sent you. And I like that stuff. It's all good. And you talked about that I may see something before I die. I'm old. I'm 50. My dad's 94, so I could live a long time. What do you think I could see before I'm 94, Lou?
Well, before I go into that, I also want to plug a product. I am using Colloidal Vape. I'm getting my fix on and keeping the New World Order away.
Cool, man.
Yeah. It's quite likely that you could see the collapse of the U.S. government in your lifetime.
You're basing this on what meme you saw on Facebeef?
If you remember last year when the national parks were shut down because you can't walk in the woods without government.
Right.
There's a meme that shows the guards closing off the gates and everything else. And then right below that, there's a picture of Obama giving a press conference. The top panel says government be like no money for national parks. Bottom panel says, oh, we found some money. We're going to bomb Syria.
Yeah, they always find money for that.
Yeah, so basically, it's just becoming so evidently clear at what a house of cards, what a con game that this whole mess is, and everybody's poking fun at it.
Poke, poke.
You know, it's like the politicians and their family members are the only ones that don't see that it's falling apart, and I could see this thing collapsing. Now, wow. I would give a little bit of advice. Don't do anything stupid like rebuild it. Because it's just going to happen again. Well, it's like with technology. Every so often, the technology doubles. If you look at the technology from 1950 to 1970, you know, you didn't have great gains. But if you look at from 2000 to 2014, the gains have been massive. And it's like an exponential growth. And the realization that the state is this horrible death cult of a religion and that government is nothing more than a false faith-based program is becoming more and more evident.
Man, you're on tonight, Lou. You had your coffee, your colloidal coffee through the other entrance, didn't you, already tonight?
Yes, I did. Well, when you first talked to me a few minutes ago, I was half asleep, but now I'm half awake.
Yeah.
So let's roll with this, man. Let's roll. Hey, today's a special day.
It's a few special days.
Yeah, it's a special day for a lot of reasons. One, it's, well, in your time zone, it still is. Little League Von Mises' 113th, no, maybe more than that. But anyway, his birthday, born in 1881. You guys do the math. I don't do math. There's three types of people when it comes to math, those that get it and those that don't. But it's also the day after the first Free Rangers event, which we're going to talk about. But it's a very special day for you. Tell us about that, Michael.
It's DJ and my 8th wedding anniversary, which is pretty sweet, man. And we didn't really we didn't really do anything special other than hang out together like we do every day. Like, you know, we don't really celebrate, you know, I don't have to take her to Red Lobster on her anniversary because we'd go do that anytime anyway. Every day is our birthday. Every day is our anniversary. Every day is filled with love and joy and friendship and hanging out. I actually spent all of today, from the time I got up until moments before this show, doing the final edits and the final look through and changing things here and there of the next to the last final cut of my How to Podcast tutorial. It turned out to be 120 minutes long. I'm outputting it now on the same computer I'm connecting the Comrex with. Hopefully it won't crash, but that's how I roll. I'm also using DSL tonight. I'm testing DSL because I've had the cable problems I've been talking about. This is the first dry run or wet run with DSL connecting the Fiends. It seems to be working well so far. You actually, I haven't heard a single dropout of you on the Skype, and I'm assuming we're still connected to GCN. So yeah, man. If anybody wants to see, tonight I'm going to be uploading this video to YouTube, but not making it public. But, you know, you'll need the URL to see it. If anybody wants to, in the next 24 to 48 hours, look through this 120-minute video on everything I know about podcasting, pretty much, and write me back any notes, you know, like, oh, this thing you said at 58 minutes and 20 seconds contradicted this other thing, or you didn't explain this well enough, or, you know, any useful feedback I will incorporate probably into the final run. So drop me an email at talkback@freedomfiends.com within, you know, 24 hours of this show coming out. And then within 48 hours of this show coming out, I will be incorporating all the input and outputting the final of everything I know. This is my life's work. Well, it's one of my life's work. So my wife's work as me, and I am my wife's work. We are each other's work. And we had a great 8th wedding anniversary today. We've been together almost 9 years, but we've married 8 years today. It's also, we didn't know it was Ludwig von Mises' birthday. That's pretty cool. I found that out today.
Yes, so did I.
But you know what else it is? It is a Catholic feast today. This day is always, the day we got married is always, this was an accident too. It's Michaelmas. It's like Christmas is the feast of Christ. Michaelmas is the feast of Michael. So I'm eating some cake.
Deep fried crickets.
Deep fried crickets and some wedding anniversary cake. Yeah, man. So it's Michaelmas, DJ and my wedding anniversary, Ludwig von Mises' birthday. Was it something else too?
The day after the first Free Rangers event.
All right. Let's you talk about that while I sit here and look at this output and just watch this this progress bar spend an hour creeping from 10% to 100%.
Alrighty. The Free Rangers. If you want to get your kids into the scouting experience, but you don't want to deal with the stink or the controversy that goes around with the regular scouts, the Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, Girl Scouts, Brownies, and whatever other militarized groups there are out there, look into the Free Rangers. It is a decentralized, open-sourced way for kids to get together and learn the types of things that they would learn in the scouting experience, but without all the nationalism, militarism, segregation by age and gender, and just all the other nonsense awesome. That goes along with it.
That sounds it awesome, is. And I wish you could do that with everything. Like, I really like going to rodeos, and there's a lot of them in Wyoming, but I don't like all the militarization and Americanization and rah, 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 and patriotism and, you know, saluting the empire that's robbing us and killing us. And I would love to go to a rodeo where they didn't have all that. I don't like football or baseball, but I'm sure that I know that those things have a lot of the rah, 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 too. I'm sure there are. Nima Vidati loves football. I'm sure he would love a football league, the anarchist football league, you know, the one that doesn't have all the hymns to our enslavement in it.
Well, who says he can't opt out of stay pair and move to lib pair?
Yeah.
Because the Free Rangers are a perfect example of it. I mean, I talked to a few people there, and the specifics that they talked about were, we wanted to get away from the militarism, and, you know, they didn't use the word state worship, but that's what it came down to.
Yeah.
They didn't want to have all this rigid, you know, you must follow this code here. You know, with the Free Rangers, the code is, hey, come out and have some fun and learn some stuff. Here.
Yeah, I like
here. I like have that some you, liberty.
I like that you guys also have riflemanship, learning to use a 22 for kids, which we talked about the other day, because there's actually this organization called Appleseed. It's appleseed.info, which is excellent at teaching riflemanship with 22s. And the idea of learning it with 22s is it's a lot, you know, basically you're learning to use a battle rifle and shoot a you know, man-sized target at 700 yards, but you're scaling it down and shooting a one-inch target with a 22 at 25 yards. You know, if you can hit a one-inch target at 25 feet, or is it yards? 25, I think it's 25 feet. I forget the math on it. You know, like you said, there's three kinds of people who can do math, those who can and those who can't. But, you know, it's basically because not everybody has access to a battle rifle or to a 700-yard range, but pretty much anybody can, you know, make a 25. Is it 25 yards, DJ? It's 25-yard range and shoot a 1-inch target with a 22. And it scales up to shooting a 308 or a 30-06 at a man-sized target. I mean, you have to adjust for ballistics and bullet fall and things like that. But pretty much if you can do well in Appleseed, you can do well in battle and be a sniper, you know, and hunt deer and things like that. Protect your property against the North Koreans and the Cubans and the Russians when they fall down from parachutes into your high school football field. But the thing is, Appleseed, what I don't like about it is it's weirdly patriotic. It's like, it's not patriotic like the Boy Scouts, which is like getting you ready for the U.S. Army. Appleseed is patriotic like, we gotta restore the Republic patriotic, you know? Yeah. Do you know about this organization?
I've heard of it, but I haven't gone in depth. You know,
have amazing teachers. It's an amazing place to, you know, but you have to sit around and listen to like stirring, heartfelt stories about, you know, Paul Revere and George Washington.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some uber status out there saying, I don't want 12-year-olds handling 22 rifles unless they're in the police or military.
Yeah, well, 12, 24, you know, it's roughly twice your age. So you can handle a 44 at 22, I think is how it goes.
Yeah, something like that. Morphine's coming up.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Tell me about these so-called free rangers. I am intrigued and wish to subscribe to their newsletter.
Well, if you want to get more information on it, I don't know if they have a newsletter yet, but you can go to www.freerangers.org.
I don't know what that is. I want something mailed to my house and brought to me by a government employee once a year.
That would be a SWAT raid. But anyway, the Free Rangers, as I mentioned before, it is a decentralized open source. Anybody can start a chapter, tribe, group, club, whatever you want to do. There are six different groups already in New Hampshire. I know some of the people that are setting them up. There's a Google document that shows the contact information for these folks. And I've met some of these people personally. Some of them I know kind of well. There are two groups here in Michigan, and there is even one in New York Statistan.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
those are the slightly less free rangers.
They use Nerf guns for their riflemanship.
Yeah, but they have to have a permit for it.
So how long has this been going on?
Well, actually, the story broke here on the Freedom Fiends, and then we glued it back together. A mutual friend of ours, Tom, had posted something on Facebeef that says, "Hey, what do you guys think of an unscouting group, kind of like the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, but without all the Boy Scouty, Girl Scouty stuff that makes it not as enjoyable."
Well, it sounds to me like the Pork Scouts in Davy Barker's novels, but
it is. It was directly inspired by Davy.
Cool.
And his Pork Scouts. And Tom was reading about it, and he was bummed out to find out it wasn't a real thing. So he opted out of State Pair and brought it to Lib Pair.
And I actually like the name Free Rangers better for the real thing. I like Pork Scouts better for the thing in Davy's book, but Free Rangers more says what it is without explanation. Like Pork Scouts would sound to the uninitiated like someone who, you know, ropes pigs or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I could see that.
But you probably have pig roping in the Free Rangers, huh?
I don't know if an event has been set up yet, but it might be. No, here's what's really neat. You have these little groups like the one that I went to yesterday is the Huron River Area Free Rangers. I believe that's the full name of it. By the way, yesterday there was a orienteering, map reading, and land navigation class, and there were about 40 people there, counting kids and adults, and there were I think the youngest may have been not 2 years old, because there was a little baby that was in one of those little front pack things. Yeah. And then also there was a lady who was pregnant. So, but anyway, yeah, and you had all different age groups there, and there was a little instruction on how to read a compass, how to shoot an azimuth, and shooting an azimuth is getting the degrees that you would travel in to get to location.
Do you need a permit to shoot an azimuth, or are they always in season?
They're always in season. No bag limit.
Well, you know, there is some math to riflemanship. You know, people always say, well, it ain't rocket science. Riflemanship actually is rocket science, but the basics of it aren't that complicated. It involves minute of angle. And I'm thinking that you guys should get someone who is an Appleseed instructor to come down and teach your rifle teachers an Appleseed class, and then take it and remove all of the glowing stories about the founding fathers that go along with it, because and they'd probably hate that. They really probably would. They'd be like, no, you can't. They'd probably, I don't know.
You must indoctrinate.
Yeah, but it's really weird. It's like, you know, it's not learning the founding fathers the way they teach you in school. It's more learning, like, you know, things like Sam Adams may have actually fired the first shot of the Revolutionary War as a sniper shot from a nearby rooming house on the second floor, despite that they tell you in school the British did it. Like, I don't know who made that up, but it's an interesting story. But I learned that in an Appleseed class.
With his match grade musket and his Leopold tube strapped to the top of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was also a little land navigation course set up. So you would have to measure out a particular distance, like, you know, go X number of degrees and 28 yards. And there was a little thing at the end. And a way to gauge yards is the standard adult footstep is 30 inches. So you can count out your paces and get there.
Cool, man.
But we'll talk more about that when we come back.
Excellent. Thank you, sir, for your service to the children.
Wines.
Think of the children.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
It's the Freedom Fiends coming to you live and worldwide over DSL, because that's how we roll. We like that classic internet. None of this fast cable for us. We like, yes, 1996 was a great year for internets. Let's go back there and get DSL. And I did.
We went to the past to come into the future.
We went to the source. We went to the well, man. I want to start doing this show on dial-up. That's how much of a purist I am. All right. But I think it's working pretty well, man. We did a test at the break there, and my connection to you via Skype is more solid than ever. And the same thing is true for nighttime for my connection via Comrex to GCN. So, man, if you want to donate to help me pay that $500 a year extra I'm spending on DSL, go to freedomfiends.com. Send us $2. We'll thank you for it. So we're going to get back to the new Pork Scouts, which are known as the Free Rangers. But I want to say I'm really happy I'm finally outputting this rough final draft of my How to Podcast 120-minute video. And again, if you want to see it before it goes public, and if you can get me notes back within 48 hours, drop me an email at talkback@freedomfiends.com, or if you know my normal email address, just write me there. I'm really psyched about this, man, because my goal, I'm not one of these people that wants to be the master of a podcast and everyone comes to me for my philosophical wisdom and I'm the only one in this room smart enough to tell you what to do with your life. I want this to be open source and distributed, and getting this video out is part of that. And Lou is getting better at doing a show, and Chandler's getting better at doing a show. Chandler did two shows yesterday, and they're both really good. And you guys are both vastly improving as radio folk. And I'm happy because I want to get to the point where there's like a dozen of you. So, you know, in 3 or 4 years when I'm senile and just go, you know, you guys can do the show without me and just have me on once in a while when I can string three sentences together. And that'll, you know, I'll just be a caller, basically.
So what do you mean 3 or 4 years?
3 or 4 weeks. Yeah. All right. So do you have somebody teaching podcasting or audio production or any media production for the kids at the Freedom Scouts, the Pork Scouts, the Free Rangers?
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, this thing is maybe a month old.
It's kind of like Pork Fest. Pork Fest used to be, you know, they booked rock stars, like people who are the only ones important enough to tell you in Liberty how to run your life. And now it's more like, hey, show up, sign up, and, you know, come teach us how to use beads or make vapes or, you know, make your own, sew your own Bitcoin wallet out of deer skin. I like that better, man. I like the, you know, the kind of open source thing better than the rock star thing. I don't like rock stars. I don't like the idea of, it's not that I don't think people should be rewarded for their work. I just don't like, whenever anybody gets really popular at something and becomes the top of their game, they immediately kind of start to suck. They immediately kind of start to rest on their laurels and believe their own BS and believe that they are the absolute authority. And that's the death of anybody's career in doing something cool for the world. So I like the idea of a scouting thing where you don't have scout masters doing it for 100 years and you don't have experts coming in. You have people from the neighborhood or across the country coming in and giving, not even lectures, just sitting down with the kids, rolling up their sleeves and teaching them the one thing they know how to do well or the two things they know how to do well. That's how the world should work, man.
Yeah, well, what's really nice about this concept is, and I hate to invoke one of the founding fathers, I won't call him a founding lawyer because he wasn't involved in the coup, but Thomas Jefferson wrote about the natural aristocracy, where people are considered leaders because of their virtue and their accomplishments, not because a bunch of people got together, got their votes bought, and said, yeah, I want him to run everybody's life. So if you have somebody that knows about these things, as an example, you know about podcasting or radio. So because of that knowledge, you would be considered a leader in this type of discussion.
Yeah. You know what I think about the founding fathers? Something just hit me. You know, people talk about robber barons, the period in like most of the 1800s. There were a bunch of corporatists who were called robber barons who were mostly involved in railroads and iron and land and the expansion west and the telegraph. And, you know, Joe Kennedy was one of them. the bootlegger that was, he did it into the 1900s. But, you know, the whole kind of people who had permission from the government to take over an industry or have a duopoly or triopoly in an industry, you know, really that's kind of what the founding fathers did. I mean, I guess you could say anybody who finds a piece of land can do that with it, but somebody had already found the land and was living here. But, you know, like Thomas Jefferson owned vast swaths of land. Not Thomas Jefferson. Well, Jefferson too in Virginia, but, George Washington, because basically the idea back then of land ownership was if you could survey it and map it, you owned it. How mind-blowingly weird is that? So those guys are just owning the government, which owned the right to do whatever they wanted.
It sounds very government-y. Interestingly enough, and maybe we can pick this up on Wednesday, a lot of the people that were labeled as robber barons were actually fighting against those monopolies, such as Cornelius Vanderbilt, who ran a steamship operation in spite of a monopoly granted by the government. Ooh. And without permission, and outcompeted the government's little lackeys. But let's talk about that Wednesday. Let's talk more about Free Rangers. So anybody can.
Are you on Wednesday too?
Yes.
Tomorrow? Is that tomorrow? I'm pretty sure. Or the night after tomorrow? I don't know. I don't even know what day it is, man.
No, the real Wednesday, which would be Thursday on the schedule.
Okay, cool, man. I haven't looked at it. I'm busy.
Yeah, but anyway, anybody can do a class. So if there's something that you have a skill in, like next spring, I would like to teach a class on fishing. Go over fishing basics, how to tie a hook onto the line and put your sinker, dig up some worms and catch fish. But also what I'd like to do is teach how to improvise a fishing rod with finding a branch out in the woods and fashioning it up to be a fishing rod.
Nice.
Yeah, so a little bit more primitive method, but in one of those situations where the only thing you can put in your zombie apocalypse go bag would be a bunch of line and some fishing hooks, then you need to know how to do that.
That's a common thing in a survival bag too, is some fishing line and fishing hooks, and you make the pole in the woods. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, you can have you ever seen there's people who kind of have unofficial competitions for making a bug out bag in an Altoids tin. Have you ever seen those sites?
No, I haven't, but oh my God, I wish to subscribe to that newsletter.
Look it up, man. Look out, you know, survivalist Altoid tin. I've seen like a page that has 40 of them on it and what people put in them. It's a pretty cool idea.
Mm-hmm. Now, something that has been talked about would be a generator building or maintenance class for
that won't like, fit in an Altoids
for like wintertime
tin.
Thing. Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. If you get the industrial size Altoids from like Costco or Sam's Club,
well,
it might.
You know, I think the thing behind that, it may actually have spun out of the Boy Scouts, because there's a Boy Scout packing rule that I remember. It's pretty much the only thing I learned in the Boy Scouts in the Cub Scouts that I still use. And it's basically when you're packing to go camping, or I do this when I'm packing to go on a trip, I take the absolute minimum I think I can get away with and lay it out on my bed, and then you take half of what's on your bed.
Ooh.
So I think that's like taken to the, you know, fourth or fifth power. That's the Altoids tin bug out bag.
Okay. But anyway, with yesterday's event, was really neat, was after the classes and after everybody got a chance to go through the little course. It wasn't a hard course because I don't think the kids there were much more than 12, if anything.
Nice.
There were two hikes that were set up. One was maybe about a half a mile, something like that, for the little kids. So the 2 to 6 year olds went on that. And there was a 1.6 mile hike, and we went through the woods. Somebody had a book on how to identify trees and bark and all that stuff. So that's really neat. But the big thing is, the kids learned something, but you should have seen the smiles on their faces.
Nice.
These are happy kids.
Excellent. How many kids were there?
I couldn't count them because they were all blurry. Oh,
moving so fast. Yeah.
Yeah. They're moving too fast for my old eyes. But I looked at the group photo and there were about 40 people, give or take one or two. Yeah.
And Tom just organized this off the cuff?
Yeah.
Man, yeah, Tom's amazing. So is his friend Ellen. I really like his friend Ellen. I met both of them together at Porkfest.
Oh, she's a little sweetie pie, isn't she?
Yeah, she's kind of mouthy though, man. She's kind of haughty, and she's a trickster. But
I'll tell you a little story about that in a few minutes. But anyway, so yeah, and a month ago he put up an idea. Hey, what does everybody think about this? And now you have chapters in three different states, and people are getting involved. And the people that were out there, it was mostly homeschoolers, so. You have people that are opting out of the state pair education indoctrination system because they want to take an active part in educating their children. They want to spend time with their children rather than using the state indoctrination camps as a daycare center or whatever. You know, get this kid out of my hair. Here, go put some socialism in their head. No. And it was secular homeschoolers. There were Christian homeschoolers out there.
You know, I really like that secular libertarians and religious, you know, Christian and Muslim. And I don't know any religious Jew libertarians, but I'm sure there are some. I just know, Catholics, Protestants, you know, devout. Randy says don't call him a devout Catholic because he said devout Catholics are always the ones who get caught with their pants down. So he's what's the word for it? He goes to church and he it's part of his life. And, you know, Davi and Will, we know the Muslim libertarians. And then I know a bunch of agnostic and atheist libertarians. And for the most part, they all get along. Sometimes not the atheists, because atheists can be religious about their atheism, but
oh yeah, militant atheism.
It's a religion. But yeah, agnostic and religious and some atheist libertarians can get along, because I think they're all realizing more and more that religion doesn't really matter nearly as much as your belief in the state. Like, I saw a post.
Another religion.
Yeah, I saw a post that some libertarian atheist or agnostic made that said, I finally realized that I have far more in common with Christian it was an atheist. And he said, I finally realized I have far more in common with Christian libertarians than I do with atheists who love the state. Statheists, yeah. We'll be back, man. Having a good time.
Excellent.
This is it's an all redemption show. I think we should just forget the tyranny, man. Throw it out the window.
What tyranny?
Yeah, man.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
I said I don't join fake militias. It's a bad idea. In my mind. Yeah. Congratulations on your purchase of a Cisco RVOXX series router. I bought this piece of equipment. That money I suffered for to get paid by the guy that owed me to it. Somebody said the guy drinks a lot, so maybe that's why he doesn't remember. But I'm not going to say who it was, but I had trouble getting some money out of someone that owed it to me for work. But I bought this new router. I bought the Fiends a router for $260. You know, I hope nobody's thinking like, God, we send him money and he just blows it on routers. No, I need this router to do the show. So basically, this is a router that you plug two internet connections into and it picks the best one and routes it to it. So like tonight to do the show on DSL, I had to unplug four plugs from the back of my cable router and plug them into my DSL router to get it to work. But this will just automatically pick the best one. This Cisco, this thing is huge, man. It's like a rack space size router. It's pretty awesome. Do you have one of those, Lou?
No, I do not.
Well, you do. You have use of one over the Fiends, though.
Okay.
Now, time sharing.
With this DSL router that you got, did you get that on eBay or the Smithsonian?
Yes, it's on loan from the Smithsonian Institute. From the Jeffersonian Institute, which is the fake name in the TV show Bones. She works at the Smithsonian, but they didn't license it, so they call it the Jeffersonian.
Yeah, I used to watch that show back when I had a TV and watched shows.
Yeah, the DSL router. Well, the router I got, this thing I just got, is kick butt and great and modern. It's like something you'd see in a, you know, small office with like 40 computers. But yeah, the router, the DSL router that connects to this. Yeah, I think it was the same one that Thomas Jefferson used to send the rough draft of the Declaration of Independence from Virginia to Philadelphia.
You know, have you ever seen the movie Almost Famous?
Yeah, I like that movie.
Okay. What's really funny is, and for those that haven't seen it, it takes place in the 60s, and it's a young kid that winds up becoming a correspondent for Rolling Stone.
I think it takes place in the really early 70s, doesn't it?
It could be. Yeah. But anyway, this kid is a correspondent for Rolling Stone, and he's traveling with this up-and-coming band. And it's funny because he's talking about sending in a copy of his draft, and somebody says, they've got this device over at the university called a facsimile.
Yeah.
It can send three pages in 60 minutes. It's like, man. Oh, my God. Yeah. And today with technology, because technology doubles so quickly, kind of like the tyranny of the state does, you can send, you know, manuscripts in a blink of an eye with email.
Yeah, but to really send things solidly, you have to go back to 1996 technology, apparently.
Yeah. But the increase in tyranny and the ability to opt out of state pair and move to lib pair is going to replace the state.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ian Freeman has better internet. Keene, New Hampshire has better internet than Casper, But Ian has had this same setup. Like, he and the senior engineer George at GCN told me what to get and how to use it. You know, they basically said, you're having problems with the cable? You got to get DSL. You got to get this other router that connects them together. Ian has the same router. Yes, I have the same mixer as Ian, the same router. I just do what my big brother Ian says, because he does everything solidly, man.
You have Ian envy.
I don't know. I don't have envy. I just really respect him, and he knows his stuff. And the little thing that they do shows from Porkfest from actually goes over a telephone line.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that thing's like $3,500. But Ian has one. So, you know, if I go to Porkfest, we can use it. And I could probably do – I could do this show from – as soon as we get Fiend Phone and you guys can connect to the – and that'll replace the Comrex, hopefully, too, as well as Skype. I'll be able to actually leave the house and go on a trip, because I can, you know, just bring my little USB mic and a laptop and do the show from a hotel room if they have good cable. So, yeah, man, the future is now, and we have all these modern and antique internet connectivity ideas to connect to radio, which is a 100-year-old medium that hasn't changed much in how it's broadcast in about 40 years. I like it, though. We're on radio. It's weird, man. It's cool. It's weird. It's cool.
Maybe it has changed, but people don't notice.
I don't know. I know a few radio engineers. Not much has changed. Except how we connect to the network. That's it. And satellites. But yeah, radio itself has not changed much. They still use tubes, man. Worms. We'll be back with hour two after this trip to the market. Worms.
Wimes.
Wimes. So tonight's a very special episode of the Freedom Fiends. It's tyranny free. There's no tyranny. We're just talking about good stuff. Talking about this new thing that was invented in Michigan. Was it Michigan?
Michigan, New Hampshire, everywhere.
Tell me about it. What's it called? Because we are on some stations that we're only on for the second hour. So go ahead again.
Okay. Good morning, Sturgis. Good morning, Sundance. The organization is called the Free Rangers, and you can find them at freerangers.org. It's free-rangers.org. And it's like the Scouts, but without all the militarism and state worship and gender and age segregation and indoctrination. A lot less Hitlerjugend and more, hey, let's have some fun and learn some stuff. Let's be happy.
It's not training. It's not training you to go overseas and train the Iraqi army to train ISIS like the Boy Scouts can. Well, I don't want to say that. The Boy Scouts will sue me. But put it this way. The Free Rangers doesn't have the requirement of pledging to the empire that wants to enslave you.
Yeah. You know, getting off on a little tangent here with the Pledge of Allegiance. How come there's no mention of pledging allegiance to family in there?
Oh, I know, because family is the enemy of the government, because the government wants to be your federal family.
Yeah, and the federal family is the uncle that molested you and then gave you a student loan that you'll never be able to pay off for a degree that you'll never use.
Ouch.
Oh, snap. Did I say that?
I thought, did I just think that, or did I say that on radio? Yeah.
Wow, my inner monologue. It's pretty funny. It came to life. Yeah. it's not funny because it's so true.
Well,
see,
yeah.
Good satire is based upon a little bit of truth and then stretching it out.
Well,
and that was just straight up truth that I dropped.
You know, when people say that humor, I mean, I don't like humor that's mean. But I like a lot of humor that would be considered in bad taste, and that would be considered in bad taste. But here's the thing. All humor is based on laughing at the fear that we will one day die. That's the basis of all humor, and that's why people laugh. It's an innate response to horrible situations, and it seems inappropriate sometimes. But that's why you have the funny bone in your head, the part of your brain that makes you laugh, is because death and eternity – of being, you know, harmed and or non-existent is really horrifying, man. So people learn to laugh at it. And that's what all humor is. And that's why a lot of the best humor involves death or horror or, you know, laughing at the state. And we like to laugh at the state here on The Fiends. So,
or laughing while Western civilization collapses.
That's what we do on The Fiends blog and on The Fiends show. So, yeah, man, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's get back. For those of you that are just joining us, the first event of the Free Rangers took place yesterday. It was a orienteering land navigation class. Real good time. Everybody had a blast. There were kids of all ages there. There were two-year-olds that were taking part in the class. There was a baby in one of the front packs that was just kind of watching stuff and taking naps. And but yeah, I had a real good time. Went on a nice little hike after that. But as I mentioned before, a lot of the people there were homeschoolers or unschoolers even. And I don't even want to say homeschool. I want to say home educate, because there's a difference between school and education. But how much do you know about home education or unschooling yourself, Michael?
Well, I largely schooled myself, even though I went to some institutions of higher learning. I used to cut class to go to the library so I could actually learn something, kind of like the way people do now with Khan Academy, but without the internet. And I know some people who are homeschooled. My wife's boss homeschools his kids, and Nick, the yak farmer, well, he doesn't homeschool. He does independent studies in connection with a charter school, and he does have to go to the school sometimes. But I know that this 17-year-old boy that we hire from the neighborhood who is homeschooled, we hire him to do yard work sometimes, is the most hardworking person I have ever hired, man. He's mind-blowing, and he's really appreciative and doesn't cut corners and works as long as it takes. So that's what I know about homeschooling, is just from experience with some homeschooled people. I also know, actually, this is kind of, I talked about this with Nima at length a couple years ago. There was this woman that was the sister of someone at my school, Church Farm School, who came in and gave a talk at our school, who had written a book called Possum Living, which was like a 70s book on preppers and on prepping and off the grid living. It wasn't necessarily about we're all going to die, so let's store things up. It was more like, let's get off the grid now. And this woman had dropped out of school at 14, and she and her father basically lived off the grid for like $600 a year between them for like 10 years. And she was really smart, and she ended up working for NASA. As literally, they say, it ain't rocket science. She homeschooled herself to go work rocket science at NASA. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. And I'm interested in learning how to can. Not because I'm worried about the New World Order zombie apocalypse where the Illuminati comes in and takes everything over. I just want to make a pot of spaghetti sauce or chili and be able to can it so I don't have to eat the stuff for a whole week.
And not need a permit to do it.
Yeah, if it happens that I need it for when the New World Order brings in the Illuminati zombie apocalypse, then hey, win-win, double win, double plus good. But
did you see that recently the I don't know if it's the Department of Land Management or the Federal Parks goons, but some federal
the permit.
Yeah. Tell me this story and then tell me how they turned around on it. It's the only tyranny we'll do today, and then we'll go back to this.
Okay, I haven't heard that they turned around on it, but apparently even the media needs $1,500 permit to go take pictures of the woods in the national parks.
Yeah, and it was so poorly worded, it looked like it was for citizens also, and there was such an outcry that they immediately reversed it and said, oh, no, that doesn't mean what it meant. But it kind of sounded like, the way it was worded, it kind of sounded like they could fine you $1,500 for, you know, taking a snapshot of a moose on your cell phone at Yellowstone.
No, as I recall, the fine was only $1,000 and the permit was $1,500.
Okay.
So the incentive on that is take your chances. If you don't get caught, it costs you nothing. But if you do get caught, it costs you $500 less than doing it the right way. I told you about the friends of the family that I used to go visit in the summertime. They lived out in a rural area. Out there, they have, like, you know, dumps out on the back of their property where they throw, you know, just old appliances.
Statists.
appliances, furniture, status, and you name it. And he called up the company that would come out and haul that stuff away because he wanted to get rid of it. And they said, well, yeah, it's going to be about $500 to get rid of it, you know, to haul all that stuff out. Wow. And then he called up the police department and asked what the fine for burning garbage was, and it was $50. Guess what happened?
He burned it.
He burned it. It burnt for 3 days. But because he lived out in the country and the people out there knew each other and they weren't a bunch of nanny staters, nobody finked on him for burning garbage on his own property. Because, you know, hey, if it neither picks my pocket nor breaks my leg, which is another Thomas Jefferson quote. Meaning, I'm going to mind my own darn business. I'm going to stay out of your life.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to homeschooling. Homeschooling is the probably one of the ultimate things that says, I am independent. I am going to take charge of my own life and provide for my family, rather than just saying, I'm dropping my kids off at the prison day camp.
Yeah.
And let their heads be filled with socialism and everybody gets a trophy, grade on a curve, and oh, did you bring enough gum for everybody? No, I didn't. This isn't the Soviet Union, where, incidentally, they didn't have enough gum for everybody.
My mother did teach me to read. I showed up at kindergarten able to read, and I've talked about how the first day of kindergarten, I picked up one of those books. They're called, you know, Tom, Dick, and Jane or whatever, which is or Dick and Jane. Or it's basically like a verb, noun, adjective kind of early, like kindergarten-level reading book. Where it's like, you know, Dick see, and the dog's name is Spot. So there's Dick, Jane, and Spot. It's like, Dick sees Spot. Spot, you know, Dick throws the bone. Spot chases the bone. Go, Spot, go. Jane fetches Spot. That kind of sentence structure, really basic. Yeah. And I picked it up and started reading it out loud, reading it. And the teacher said, can you read that? And I read it out loud. And she said, hey, class, gather around. Michael's going to read to us. And I read the whole book. It took like 5 minutes to read it out loud. And I got bullied for being able to read my first day of school. And really, I would honestly say most of what I learned at school, not only that was useful in later life, but just everything I learned, most of it I learned on my own, reading ahead in the books and just going to the public library after school. I really didn't learn much in school and was pretty smart by the time I got out of school. I went to college at 17 and I didn't need school, man. It was a bully factory for me. I got picked on a lot. I was kind of smart mouthed to the teachers because you learn all at the same pace in public school, and in everything except math, I was way ahead of the rest of the class. I probably could have used some tutoring in math, but I can balance a checkbook, and I could by 18. But yeah, man, school didn't really teach me much, and it was incredibly frustrating. And I just was sitting there like fuming, waiting to get out. Fortunately, I was out of school a couple years before they started drugging people in school for being smart and bored.
your story is entirely false.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why it's false. Because I hear all these pro-government extremists talk about how everybody would be illiterate if it wasn't for the schools. Are you trying to tell me that your mother, a mere mortal non-government employee, was able to teach you how to read?
Yeah.
No, that's impossible. Because if it wasn't for government schools, we would have a bunch of illiterates like we do now.
So you say, brother man.
Yeah. Let's take it a little bit further. I heard Larkin Rose talk about this one day, and it's like, oh my God, the light goes off. Reading and writing is a language. It's communication. If you're of the belief that a person could learn to read and write without a government school, then how did the people learn how to talk? Isn't that a language? They learned that on their own.
Yeah.
By observing, listening, mimicking, and having at it.
We'll be back after this trip to the free market.
Meow. Meow.
Woof. Woof.
Woof.
Woof.
Woof.
Woof.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Woof. See Dick run. Run, Dick, run. See Dick vote. What do you got to say about Dick voting?
See Dick vote for more taxes on his neighbors. Don't be a Richard. Don't vote.
Yeah, homeschooling. You know, also my dad, I just told someone this today. My dad told me when he was a kid, there was a guy in his neighborhood who worked as a dynamite blaster. And on his 100th birthday, the local newspaper came and interviewed this dynamite blaster and said, "How'd you live to be 100? And he said, "By never messing with nothing dangerous, especially women." But I've messed with women and I've enjoyed their company. I don't know, man. I don't understand people that hate women. I don't understand guys that like having sex but think women are all bad or something, or they're the source of all the misery in the world. I have had a lot of friends that were women and a lot of girlfriends, and finally settled down, got it all out of my system, got married 8 years ago, and my wife is my best friend, man. I can't wait till she gets home each night. I'm always happy to see her. And I love hanging out with her. I'd rather be with her doing nothing than be with most people doing something cool. And that is a good marriage and a good relationship. And I'm really happy about it, man. It's cool.
8 years ago today. So everybody in Sturgis and Sundance, is Michael's anniversary.
Yep. 8 years ago today, we went to the state and got permission to love each other. We went to the courthouse in Southern California. In what town was it, DJ? She's asleep. Yeah, it was the town where they got the little airport there. Van Nuys. Went to the Van Nuys courthouse, got married. And this is California for you, man. We walked out of the courthouse, husband and wife, and immediately a guy panhandled us. Hey, congratulations. You got a dollar? That's California for you, man.
Did you do the Doug Stanhope wedding proposal tour?
Baby, I love you so much. We need to make this better. We got to add the government and lawyers and judges.
Yeah.
No.
He's coming to Detroit at the end of the month.
I think you should go talk to him and tell him about the Fiends and ask if he will do an interview. Because I have tried to contact him. There's very few people I'd like to interview. He is one of them. Although I think we would have to be really on the cuss dump, or maybe even record that ahead of time. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, if I get my hands on a Zoom H2, maybe I'll sneak it into the comedy club and talk to him.
Just see if he'll do it over the phone sometime or over Skype, man. He does Skype interviews. I would rather do that than try to get him to do it from the venue, because from the venue, he's not going to have time. He's going to be busy. There's going to be background noise. It's going to be in a room with crappy acoustics. You know, see if he'll do it when he gets back to, where does he live in Arizona on the border?
I have no idea.
Weird little border town. It's all artists. They don't like him because he's not the right kind of artist. Salinas, Bolinas, Sedona, yeah. Sedona, Arizona. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I have no idea. But anywho, yeah. So yeah, I'll look into that. So, what do you attribute the success to your marriage? Because I've met you and DJ in real life. You're not just a voice in my head anymore. What is it about your marriage that every day is a new adventure, even if you're doing the same old stuff of watching the evening news at the TV with a TV tray in front of you, and you know, like the old people do?
Well, this sounds kind of nutty, but one thing is separate bedrooms. You know, most people like do that when they get really old, but we have such different schedules. It's not like we don't sleep together or cuddle or anything, but she works 9 to 5 and has to, I mean, she's asleep right now. It's midnight, you know, it's past midnight. She's asleep.
Wake her up.
No, I wouldn't, because sleep is sacred. That's another thing. We'll never wake the other person up unless someone has said, you know, I need to be woken up at this time, or unless there's an emergency. And there's not been one yet that required waking someone up. So, you know, respecting sleep, respecting space. And I would say not getting married until I was ready. You know, we got married. I was 42 when we got married. And if I'd gotten married when I was 23, you know, I would have been married like 7 times if I'd married everyone that I thought I loved. Between, you know, I'd be on my 8th wife. I think it was just not getting married. I mean, I never thought I'd get married. I was always against marriage. I don't know. It just got to a point where it made sense, man. But I guess I would say, you know, not getting married at 20 is a good suggestion.
I think the fact that you don't try to win over each other is not a competition.
Yeah,
you don't try to build coalitions and outvote each other.
No, man. We've had like 2 arguments in 8 years, yeah. And they haven't been very big.
That's a good thing.
Worms. Thank you.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Freedom Fiends. My wife gave me a card for our 8th anniversary today. She said it was the best one she could find at Walmart. And I love it. It's a cat, like a little baby Persian kitten that they photoshopped a unicorn horn on. And then the cat is like a rainbow color, kind of muted rainbow colors. And then there's sparkly, like, you know, that sand glitter, fine glitter all over the card. And then you open it up and it says, "You are as special as a catacorn."
Aww. That's sweet.
It's a little monster kitty. I love it. Yeah. All right.
That is so sweet. And yeah, the relationship that you and DJ have, because I've heard you guys rambling when we've been talking on the phone or off air on Skype and having met you guys make it work, but it doesn't look like a whole lot of work. It looks like it's very laissez-faire, as in, hey, let's just live our lives and not meddle with each other. Let's not be status towards each other.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, man. Yeah.
Let's not lobby for laws against each other.
Yeah, and if I had gotten married when I was 20, you know, she probably would have stabbed me in my sleep, whoever she would have been, because I was not ready. I wasn't ready until I was 40-something.
Yeah. Well, I'm 44, 29 in worm years, and I've never been married, and I've never really thought about getting married or having a family very seriously until, you know, just seeing like the peaceful parenting in action, the home education and the unschooling, and just seeing that the world isn't quite so bad, that stay pair is not dominating everything. It's actually going away. Lib pair's taking over. But let's jump into our new segment. Our new segment, my new favorite segment on the show. Is it real or is it the Onion?
Now,
the
Onion, for people who don't know, tell us what the Onion is.
The Onion is a satire website. They take current stories.
Fake news. Yeah, it's fake news.
Yeah. Yeah, they might exaggerate an actual truthful story, or they might just come up with something off the wall. And the thing is, the news stories these days are so unbelievable that you can't tell the difference between the real news and the fake news.
That's
now,
true.
I went outside of the Onion today, and I have a different prank website. And let's get started here. The first headline we have, I'm going to read off the headline, and Michael's going to tell us, is it real or is it fake? So first headline is, Eric Holder takes $77 million job with JP Morgan Chase.
Fake.
Good. That thing has been posted all over Facebeef, and there's even a very popular libertarian conspiracy type webpage, I believe, that they retweeted it or reblogged it and then took it down once they realized it. This thing is all over the place and people are getting punked left and right.
Here's why I say it's fake. Two reasons. One, because people like Eric Holder, when they retire, they generally don't take jobs for $77 million in the private sector. They generally take jobs for $100,000 a year working for a college and then do stuff on the side that's secret that makes them $77 million a year. That's one reason. The other reason is, I'm pretty sure the reason that Eric Holder's retiring is the same reason Cass Sunstein retired, so they can be the next appointed Supreme Court judges. That's my theory. Ugh.
Either that or Eric Holder is planning a joint run for president and vice
with
president.
Hillary?
With Anthony Weiner.
The Weiner Holder ticket?
Weiner Holder 2016.
Okay. Moving right along.
Okay. Next up, we have Stephen King has a tendency to believe in intelligent design.
Pretty sure that's true.
Yep. It is from Huffington Post, and essentially he thinks that the world is a little bit too organized to be random. He says that the odds are completely astronomical that something could turn out the way that it is with all the possibilities. But something that I will say is that with all the billions and trillions and gajillions of possibilities that there are, I think each one of them had exactly the same chance of happening. So
I'm hoping for an alternate universe that we can just pop into, and that's where Libpear is hanging out right now.
No, well, Libpear is coming here. We're merging the dimensions.
Yeah, I mean, the world that we live in now that lacks Libpear seems like stupid design to me. It seems like it was designed by an omnipotent being that doesn't know how people want to be organized.
omnipotent moral busybodies. Yeah. Yeah. Stay pair. Status paradise.
And okay. Stephen King is an inveterate liberal and an inveterate statist, and he named his son after some socialist labor union leader. I forget who, but...
Ugh.
Yeah.
All right, next up.
So, of course, he'd believe that that everything, even the world and the universe, has to be centrally planned.
Yeah. All right, next up we have 15-year-old boy's letter about Emma Watson's feminism speech proves change is possible.
I don't even know what that is. Who's Emma Watson?
She was in Harry Potter. She was the cute girl that you thought Harry was going to hook up with that wound up with the ginger.
I don't know what that is. I have no idea. But I know Harry Potter's a book and some movies, but I don't even know the main characters in it. So read the headline again.
Okay. 15-year-old boy's letter about Emma Watson's feminism speech proves change is possible.
That's probably a real headline, but it doesn't mean anything to me.
It is, and you're right. It means nothing.
Okay.
Okay. Next up, Vegas taking bets on next NFL player to be arrested.
Let me go back to that one there. I've never considered myself a feminist. My wife has used that term on herself once, and I believe it. I mean, basically, it just means the real meaning of it is that you want equality. But what is commonly passed as feminism is some kind of like state mandated equality, and sometimes even like put the men in their place because they've kept us down. I don't dig that, man. I also don't dig the men's rights movement, which is equally, if not more, creepy to me than you know, adamant feminism in your face. I'm a feminist, and that's everything I believe, and you must know that. I just don't like people treating each other badly based on, you know, luck of the draw kind of birth kind of stuff or anything. I don't like it. But I'd be willing to bet that article that says change is possible, the change that they're talking about is probably something with the state.
Yeah.
That sounds like that kind of headline.
Yeah. And nothing says strong, independent woman like demanding that other people pay for your birth control. All right. Next article.
Yeah.
Vegas taking bets on next NFL player to be arrested.
Oh, that's absolutely true, man. Vegas takes bets on anything.
Actually, this is from the Daily Current, which is another onion type troll website.
Yeah. Okay. But I'll bet you can go to some parlor in Vegas and place a bet on that.
I wouldn't be surprised. And realistically, if Ray Rice wanted to keep his job and beat women, he should become a cop.
Yeah, next that's up. A meme that's going around. It's kind of an ugly meme. I can see it. It's true.
It's an ugly situation, and it's an ugly truth.
Yeah, cops beat women and get away with it all the time. They beat women, they beat men, they beat black people, they beat white people, they shoot dogs, they shoot people of all sex and color, and they tase pregnant women. That's hideous, man.
They get up early to beat the crowds. Okay, next up. Paid maternity leave push underway at U.S. Labor Department.
Oh, I'm sure that's true.
It is. Apparently, they're pushing for legislation that will give, I don't know, like 14 weeks or 12 weeks or a year of paid maternity leave to new mothers. And now, I understand that raising children and giving birth is a hard job, but that's not the job that your employer hired you to do.
See, in a libertarian paradise, companies would compete on voluntarily giving maternity leave, and the companies people would want to work at would be the ones that would give the most. And I think Microsoft and Apple have both given a lot of that's part of their perks. not in China where they make the iPods, but in America where they, you know, in the not just the executives, but the random, you know, level Cube employees, I think they do get a good bit of non-state mandated maternity leave, and that's why people like to work at those companies. I think Google does too.
Yeah, well, what really got me earlier on this was looking at the comments of the article, and I have to quit reading the comments because it's complete state pair. It causes me to lose faith in humanity. All these people are saying, yeah, these employers need to be forced to take care of their employees. You know, and I'm glad that they're looking to the private sector to be the mommy and daddy for everybody instead of the government. But it's like, oh my God, they have no concept of economics. It's like they learned economics in a sociology class or something like that.
All right, what's next?
Okay, and the last one is Germany to consider ban on late night work emails.
Oh, I think that's The Onion.
Actually, Huffington Post again.
It's news? That's a real
thing?
It's
news.
I mean, the Huffington Post can almost be The Onion at times, but so read the headline again and then explain the story to me, please.
Germany to consider ban on late night emails.
Why?
I have no idea, and I didn't really read the article too much. I just saw the headline and said, hey, this will work, because I needed to grab up a couple articles before I took my meerkat nap after work and for the show today.
If I were banned on doing late-night emailing, I would never get any work done.
Yeah, I have no idea where this comes from. Interestingly enough, I heard a news story on the radio this morning on my way to work, and what was it? Oh, over in Germany, I guess some public workers or something like that, road workers, or I don't know, some sort of statocrats, they got in trouble for drinking rum on the job. But having been to Germany, you know that everybody takes beer breaks.
Yeah, a two-hour lunch, too, and then they take a siesta.
Yeah.
When everything's closed for, like, everything in Germany, at least in small towns, at, like, every shop is closed from, like, oh, I don't know, 1 to 3, something like that.
Yeah, that's almost everywhere in France. I didn't run into it too much in Germany.
I did in Schweinfurt. Everything did.
Okay. Well, I don't know that I've ever been to Schweinfurt. I may have been and just not remember it.
You're in the army in Germany and you've never been to Schweinfurt. It's like the U.S. It's basically a U.S. city. It's the army.
Well, so is Grafenwehr and Wildflicken and a couple other places.
Well, that's because after the war, you know, they basically made a deal and said, we saved your butt from Hitler. We're going to move in here. But, you know, really, if they don't want to be like Hitler, they should stop socially planning people's activities in the evening, because that's very central planning. And, you know, I don't want to say that's like Hitler, because there's a name for that in arguments. But Germany, you used to be cool after World War II. Stop being centrally planning everything that doesn't need to be. We'll be back with some redemption in the third act.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Lou. Hi, Lou.
Quack, quack, quack.
What's on your mind, brother man, for this redemption in the third act?
This has been redemption in the first, second, and third act.
It really has, yeah.
Yeah, this show has been 38% fiendier than normal. And it's about bridging the gap and taking libpair and bringing the light of libpair and shining it on the darkness of staypair and killing all the bacteria and disease of staypair.
Yes, colloidal libpair gets rid of staypair.
Yeah. Yeah, it's what it really comes down to is how can I put it? Somebody was talking a couple days ago about, well, we don't have so many options, you know, our options are limited. No, your imagination is limited. And I had to explain it a little bit further. People see that, you know, I only have these options. I can vote for the Republican socialist, or I can vote for the Democrat socialist. I could go outside and go for the Libertarian Party socialist, but nobody's saying, hey, how about no socialism?
Yeah.
Rather than having a progressive authoritarian yell at me and bark orders and send armed goons to my house when my daughter has a lemonade stand or because I wish to exercise a right that shall not be infringed, opt out. Walk away. Seriously, turn the state and all status things into MySpace. Yeah, keep your account, but don't log in. And what we talked about today were different ways of doing that. If you don't like the way that the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts run, because it is very nationalistic and you want your kids to have fun but not get indoctrinated, check out the Free Rangers, freerangers.org. That's free-rangers.org. Start up your own chapter. You know, you talked about with AA, the only thing that you need to start your own meeting is resentment and a coffee maker.
Resentment in a coffee pot. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you don't like what's available, start your own. You mentioned, hey,
all you need is a resentment and, you know, a quarter acre of land and a internet connection.
Yeah. You don't even need a quarter acre of land. And heck, with the technology of 4G, LTE, wireless, and all this other stuff, now you don't even really need the internet connection like you used to.
There should be an internet service wireless provider that's like, that's their whole pitch. It's like, tired of the state? Use LibPair 4G service.
Yeah. And you don't even have to use broadband. Go to DSL. Be like the fiends.
Yeah.
Go back to 1996.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, if you don't want to send your kids to the state indoctrination camps and have them be taught to be socialists, school them at home. There are so many options available. You have Khan Academy. You have the Ron Paul homeschool program. You have YouTube.
You have the internet, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I learned – my mother taught me to read by the time I was five, and then I just loved reading and kept reading. And I learned more – by the time I left high school for college at 17, I learned more than most of the kids in school and learned most of it on my own. Like, you know, basically a library card. What is it? There was something that I think it was one of the 60s Black Power radicals said that the scariest thing to the establishment is a black man with a library card.
Exactly. And kids love to learn. I mean, people have this idea that kids hate to learn. No, they hate school. They hate prison. They hate a 12 or 13 year sentence for a crime that they haven't committed yet. If you don't think that kids like to learn, you know, why do they ask so many questions? They're little question machine guns, you know, boom, how does this work? How's that work? And they want to know about everything. They want to try everything. They want to look at it, touch it, feel it, taste it. You know, everything is encourage that.
Yeah. I think you'll make a good dad someday, Lou.
I don't know if I'll be a good one, but I'll be a cool one. That's for darn certain.
It's been a really redemptive show, man. There's been 99% less tyranny today. Actually, like 40% less tyranny. We don't usually have much. And I really enjoyed this time on the Freedom Fiends. And I'm going to go upload to a secret location on YouTube this video on how to do a podcast. If anybody wants to take a look at it in the next 24 hours and give me feedback before I make it live and do the final edit, drop me an email at talkback@freedomfiends.com or my usual email, and I'll send you the link when it's up. If I have my cable back up, I'm not uploading a gigabyte on DSL. That would take too long, but I should have my cable up.
There are options out there, and the market will provide them.
Worms. It's been a good first test of DSL, too, man. Worms.